What is up, podcast community? My name is Michael Chernow, and this is the Creatures of Habit podcast. Habits are everything, and on this show, I will be interviewing some of the most inspiring, motivated, and high-performing humans on the planet to learn about the daily habits, routines, and rituals that help keep them focused, determined, on top of their game, and ultimately, happy. My journey from the depths of addiction and misery to success as a family man and serial entrepreneur was only made possible by replacing bad habits with great ones, and my mission in life today is to share that story and the story of others with you to bring value and life-changing tools to as many people as possible. So sit back, relax, and pay attention, because what you hear in this podcast today can potentially change your life. Let's go. What's going on, guys? Welcome back to the Creatures of Habit podcast. Today, I've got a guest on the show. Her name is Megan Hayden. She is an absolute baller. I've been following her on social media for a long time. We've bumped shoulders over the years in the world of fitness and wellness. She is a strength and conditioning coach. If you were to see the way she's able to move her body, the weight that she's able to move, she really is like an anomaly. It's pretty amazing to see. And her mission is really to help others do very similar things. She really, really is there to be of service. She's also a fitness model and a new thing in her life. Well, a couple of new things in her life. One is she's opening up her own facility with a couple of partners, which is really exciting, especially for someone who's been a coach for so long, going into now an entrepreneur of their own actual brick and mortar space. But also, she's taken on kind of like a director role in this fitness model arena, where she's not only fitness modeling as well, but she's also directing other models and working with producers to try to create really cool content on the other side of the camera. So I'm really excited to introduce Megan to the show. Megan, welcome to the show.
What's going on? Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. I would love you to just give us a quick bio on you to let us know really who you are. That was like kind of what I put out there, but I'm sure it's coming better from your lips.
Well, what's amazing about this industry is there's really so many opportunities and different branches off that you can go into. And so really it's been an amazing ride. And I would say the last 6 or so years that I've lived in the city of kind of starting in a big box gym and trying to get a lay of the land and seeing what New York really needs in terms of from the health and fitness industry, and just trying to expand my skills and values so that I can be a better coach and provide better value to everyone that I am able to influence and help coach.
Where did you live before the city?
I lived in Miami. I finished up school at the University of Miami, go Canes. And before then, I grew up in Connecticut, in Greenwich, right outside the city. And my family and I spent like 4 years in Hawaii, which was like really the bulk of my childhood.
Hawaii.
Yeah. And that's just like, that's deep in the heart there.
That's awesome. So is Hawaiian in your bloodline?
It's not. I'm Indonesian. So I have a little bit of Pacific Islander in me. I would consider myself more like a tropical baby, but no Hawaiian in my blood.
Cool. You know, it's so interesting to see how the fitness industry as a whole has evolved over the last 10 years.
Totally.
I've had a couple of other fitness industry folks that I've worked with and also have trained with for years on the show. And it's just so interesting to me to see that like this is a, like when you look to any sort of massive platform, the majority of what you're seeing today is people trying to be better health-wise. The majority of it, right? Like that is, there's obviously lots of drama and propaganda and all sorts of shit like that. But like there is, if you take any, you know, New York City person's cell phone, open up their social media accounts, you're going to scroll through and you're just going to see lots of fitness. And I think it's an unbelievable thing. It's an unbelievable evolution for people to be paying attention to ways that we can actually be better on a daily basis through movement.
Absolutely. You know?
On the podcast, we really like to understand what makes you tick, the things that you do on a daily basis, specifically in the morning and in the evening, to help you
build a foundation for your day and also wind down so you have the most successful day tomorrow. So let's kick it off with your morning routine.
My morning routine is what my ideal morning routine is. Not that I can get to it every single day, but I do like giving myself around 45 minutes from when I wake up from my alarm till when I leave the door, and just really be able to give back to myself, start the day as kind of figuring out how I want to take on the day, maybe a mental check-in for myself, a little body check-in, sip a nice glass of water. That's got to go in first. And I have really felt the best when I do incorporate that.
Is there like a specific amount of water? Do you put anything in it, or you just put down a glass?
I love to put noons in my water. Those are like big for me, or just like a little bit of lemon juice or lime juice, maybe even a pinch of salt. I do like to have a little bit of flavor in my water, but I also just one glass normally to start with. But I also like to really just start my day with greens, or really as dense nutrients as possible, really just to give my body as much vitamins and minerals so that they don't crave that throughout the day. And that also just really like makes me feel a little bit more alert, and it like makes me just feel like I'm energizing myself a little bit.
Do you have like, are you eating greens, or do you have like a greens mix, or?
I've been experimenting with a couple. Like, I've tried Athletic Greens. I've tried Super Green Tonic. I've worked with them. I really like their mix and their third party testing and their transparent labeling. So I've been a fan of theirs, and there's so many new ones that pop up all the time. It's fun to try different ones, but those are the two that I kind of stay with.
What time do you typically wake up?
Depends. Normally around 6.
Okay.
Sometimes if I have a 6, it'd be 5 or so. But I'd say recently I've been having more of like a 7 a.m. start time, because I normally finish around 7 or 8.
Got it. So like, and I love that, because I think, you know, and guilty here. For years, I was like, I'm the guy that gets up early, and not for really anyone else. Although it has helped lots of people over the years, being able to say like, you know, if I give myself an extra hour a day, I just earned an extra 7 hours a week of productive time, which is, you know, whatever, 365 hours a year, right? Like, I kind of think about it mathematically that way. Like, you wake up an hour early alone, productive time, you just earned lots of hours, but I love that you're like, I wake up sometimes at 6, sometimes at 5 if I have to, based on what time you go to bed, I'm assuming, right? So you're giving yourself like the freedom of the amount of hours you feel like you need to sleep.
Yeah, I totally appreciate the end of my day and my nighttime routine. And so I would sacrifice a little bit more of my morning routine for a solid nighttime routine.
I can't wait to get to the nighttime routine, but keep us going with the morning routine.
But yeah, and then just filling myself with good nutrients. I'll usually, if I have time, that's when I'll make my morning coffee, and then I'll sip that before I go. And I love to make like a nice little shake, because I'll have probably 2 clients in the morning, and then I'll want to have that shake during that time, because normally right after that is when I move or when I work out. So I need to have that kind of shake before I move. I don't really love working out on the empty stomach.
Got it. So you train at like 8-9 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah, I try to. Sometimes I'll do a little late morning or early afternoon, but my ideal time is like before 10 a.m.
What kind of training are you doing right now? Like, what's your modality now?
My modality is, I just made a sick woman's program that is 4 days a week strength training. And as a former soccer player, I love running. And so really my bike has taken over most of my cardio over the last 2 years that I've had it. But I do love to run as like just more of a, I prefer running over cycling. And I like to do that on my off days. So either like an interval run, steady state, even just something to start the day with. That was always like a really amazing part of my morning routine. I would live about 2 miles away from where I worked, and I would always jog to work. And so doing some sort of just low intensity or mid intensity for 20 minutes or so within just the very first start of my day. So like right when I leave the house, I love to have that, because it's a great way for me to just wake up the body, get the systems flowing without even having coffee. And it just like really makes me feel productive and like fully awake for my client, especially not moving and then going to train someone is, I don't know, I almost feel like a hypocrite. I'm like, all right, I'm sitting here, I'm still snoozing in my head and I'm telling you to hit like a high intensity workout right now. Mm-hmm. It doesn't work. So me having like a mini jog or like me having breaking a little bit of a sweat by the time I reach the gym brings me like into like a great mode for me to coach.
This podcast is brought to you by, you guessed it, Creatures of Habit. Creatures of Habit is a lifestyle and wellness brand rooted in nutritional wellness and healthy habit making. We have recently made a few changes that I wanted to share with you. The Protagonist has taken on a new name and a very exciting new formula. It is now called Meal One. Yes, that's right, a much more appropriate name that tells you exactly what it is and when to have it. Additionally, we have made a few changes to the formula, removing organic maple sugar and stevia, only sweetening now with monk fruit. Meal One is a blend of gluten-free oats, 30 grams of plant-based protein, chia seeds, flax seeds, pumpkin seeds, pink Himalayan salt, omega-3 fatty acids, vitamin D3, a probiotic, and digestive enzymes. It's also gluten-free, non-GMO, vegan, and freaking delicious. Make Meal One a part of your life on a daily basis and watch how one nutritional win inspires winning for the rest of your day. Use promo code KOHPOD20. That's KOHPOD20, the number 20. When you head over to creaturesofhabit.com, that's creaturesofhabit.com with a K. Love you, appreciate you. Back to the show.
You know, like you just brought something up that I haven't thought about in a long time. I made a big shift in my life years ago when I was 23. I got sober. And when I got sober, it was like I really replaced all these crazy bad habits that were killing me with great ones. It started out small, but every single morning, first thing I did when I woke up was I have a little prayer practice that I do, and then I would go out for a run. And sometimes it would be like 4 city blocks, yeah, right? Sometimes it would be a mile. I mean, it built up over time, but it just reminded me of this idea that like going out for a run doesn't mean you have to run 10 miles, right? It doesn't mean you have to run 5 miles. You can go out for a 20-minute jog and probably do just about the same positive thing that you would be doing in a 3 to 5 mile run. So I just feel like you just reminded me that was such a, I loved that part of my life in those days when I was just like, it wasn't about like the competition of like, how long can I do this? It was like, yo man, go move your body. Get the juices flowing, you know? Yeah. So I love that. So are you doing that now? Are you doing those little jumps?
Well, for the last 2 years, it's been cycling. My bike. So I bike everywhere. So it's really funny how my body has changed based on my new lifestyle of biking everywhere as my commute. Mm-hmm. Like on some days, if I know I'm going to get a tough workout in the middle of winter, I'll just wear like short shorts and I'm like, all right, this is my free cryo right here. Gotta freeze it up mm-hmm. and get the circulation moving before or on my way home or whatever. But I pretty much have about 6 to 8 short spurts on my bike a day. And I have a fixie, and so it's a lot of work. And normally I'm in a rush because I pack my schedule super tight and I try to fit everything in. And so I'm like jetting around the city, and that has just changed my metabolism and my just how my body works so much because I'm able to get that short spurt of energy. It speeds up my metabolism, just everything in my body. And it just kind of... It kind of just keeps me awake. It's really fun too, like coasting through.
Just
the city.
So anybody knows listening, a fixie is a bicycle with one gear, no brakes, and the only way you're able to actually brake is when you jam the pedals. You figure out the technique, but you sort of squeeze your knees, you jam the pedals, and the bike kind of skids. Fucking dangerous. And I did it for such a long time too. And
you
I
did?
Know how I did for nice. So long. I know how addicting it is. It's so much like, it's so much different than bike riding because it's like, there's like an element to it. That's like, this shit is like, you know, it could really get fucked up here. You know what I'm saying? It could get really fucked up. I mean, once you get good at it, you get good at it, but you're right. It is definitely a different kind of workout than just riding a bike.
You
never stop pedaling.
Yeah.
You never stop pedaling. So that's pretty dope. So the way you think your body has sort of changed, in what way?
Well, one, like what I just said about like, I'm always burning fuel. I'm always like hungry or needing something to replenish. Like if I'm not thinking about it, I'll lose weight just because of how often I'm biking. If I'm not eating all day, mm-hmm. then it's like, you know, you have that balance, but also
you gotta get you some of that Creatures of Habit.
You know it.
Meal one, baby.
but also I'm really only focusing on strength training in the gym now. Like I still normally hit some sort of conditioning component to finish out any workout. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, like I'd rely on my bike. And I also haven't run as much because I'm exhausted from those six bouts. Yeah. By the time for it's me to go like run 3 miles, I'm just like, you know, I got that in.
Do you miss running?
Definitely. I mean, I ran the half marathon, which is my first half, cool. this past April, which was awesome. But and it was fun. I was very conditioned, so I didn't have to train that much for it just because of my biking.
Yeah.
But I do have a special love for running over any other type of cardio, for sure.
I also think that it's important that, you know, strength training gets a great rap. And for others, people are afraid of strength training because they think they're going to get too big, right? Like when you mention weightlifting to women,
yep.
Or to like even to men, and like I remember very clearly me for the first 10 years, 12 years of my fitness journey, I was a kickboxer. So like I was like, I have zero interest in putting on muscle. Like I want to be as fast as possible, as light as possible. Like power was in speed for me and it mm-hmm. was not about muscle. So I was like, you know, friends were lifting weights and I was like, fuck that. I'm not lifting weights. I'm going to run a marathon, you know? But I just, it was like, I was so misadvised, you know, Like I am such a proponent of strength training for women and for men. I think it's like, I think for long-term health and just aesthetics too, and the way you feel, it's such a powerful modality. So like, what would you say to somebody listening that's like, oh, I don't want to get too big because of strength training.
I think there's enough research and just information out there where that's kind of a like an entry level thought where like you don't know as much about lifting in general. And so, I mean, when you think about the start of like strength training and like what people were doing, like it was bodybuilding, it was hypertrophy, it was getting huge. Mm-hmm. And so like, yes, when you think of lifting weights, you think of that style of training. But I think that especially as the industry has grown and developed, I mean, there's so many styles of training. I was talking to someone over this past weekend about going to a tribal yoga class where it was like they like did chants throughout the thing and it was like you were moving to energy, but it was like a yoga flow. And I was like, wow, like something like that exists. And people go to that mm-hmm. because it's a niche, but like there can be any niche in the world that you can think of and people can do it, which is also why I think this industry is so awesome because there's so many different avenues that you can go into. And if people love it and they want to follow that methodology, then like you'll have an audience.
Yeah.
But I think that if you learn how to do it the right way, I mean, you can easily strength train without building crazy mass, or you mean you can get strong without growing and you can grow without really getting too strong as well, I think. But yeah, I would say find a coach who knows how to do it without, you know, knows how to do it the right way and educate yourself.
I also want to say, you know, I've just come off like a 5-year run of bodybuilding competing, and I'm not a big dude. I want to be a big dude, but it's so hard. I want to make it clear, like anybody totally. Listening, like when I hear someone say to me, because I've been coaching a bunch of guys over the last couple of years and you know, like one of their first things that I get is like, yo, man, I just don't want to get so big. And I'm like, brother, let me tell you something, dude. Do you know how hard it is to get big? Like, do you know how much food you would have to eat and how much weight you would have to lift to put on 5 pounds of muscle?
Oh, yeah.
Do you have any idea? Like, you have no idea. It's so hard. I try to put on a pound of muscle every year for the last 5 years. The shit is hard. You got to eat a lot and you got to be comfortable with not being shredded. You got to like be comfortable at 15, 18% body fat and then 4 months out of the year, strip it down to see what you've done.
Yeah.
It is so hard to get big. I just think that that's such like a thing that people just need, unless you're using steroids.
It's probably harder to get big than it is to lose weight and get toned.
Oh yeah, I would say so, like, because easily. there's like a very, very strict protocol to shred down, right? It's like you are going to do 5 days of cardio after your strength training. You're going to eat 1,300 calories, and then it's going to work its way down to 1,100 and zero carbohydrates, and you're going to hate your life. But it's totally doable for anybody who wants to do it for 3 months. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can do it. It's not healthy. Let me just say that again. It's definitely not healthy, but it's very possible for anyone. Putting on muscle is really, really hard.
Very hard.
It's really, really hard, and I think – and that goes for both – men and women, it's just a hard thing to do.
It's also just has to completely consume you. Like, you have to be fully committed to that goal and that goal only for a good amount of time.
Right.
Like, for that to really be successful. So totally. Absolutely.
Let's pop over to your evening wind down routine.
Love good scents in the home. So that's big, like setting the tone. Mm. I have Hue lights or candles that I like. Always turn the intensity down. My eyes are big on like screens at night. So I love either like setting good music. I have a little record player. I have like my dad's records from like the 30s that I'll put on sometimes.
I do too. I've got all my dad's old records.
My place is like super cozy. And I don't have like a subscription to anything on a TV. I don't even know why I have a TV in my home because it's never on. Which is cool because I just like enjoy looking at the cityscape and whether like I work late night on my computer or try to pick up a book or I have a little bit of outdoor space as well. So I'll just like sit out there and just like listen to the city sounds for a while. Like I love to have like a little bit of a wind down from the day. Mm. I think that's huge in like setting. I never have a problem sleeping, so. But the wind down is important because when you work, you know, all day, you gotta let your body sink in a little bit.
Totally.
Before just passing out.
Do you have any little things that you do, maybe like a sleep support powder, like any kind of like eye mask, anything like that you do to help you fall and stay asleep?
Love self-care in some different way, like whether it be a good face skincare routine of like gua sha or like some sort of, you know, long shower, like where, you know, you do all the things and just take care of your body, you know, or whether it be like I'll throw on my like Therabody boots for like some circulation. I love doing that even midday. But yeah, I think just taking care of your body and is huge. And it also just like allows the body to relax before bed.
Totally. Mm-hmm. I think the two most important times of the day are like the hour and a half to 2 hours before you go to sleep and then the hour and a half to 2 hours after you wake up. Yeah. I really do believe, and the reason why I created this brand but also this podcast was to be able to say like there's not much we control, right? Totally. Like there's not much that we control. Like there's lots of once one single person comes into your periphery vision, you are no longer in control because that person, whether they're friends or not, have the ability to interrupt any decision you want to make. And so I like to say, you know, like giving yourself that period of time in the beginning of the day to truly focus on yourself. You know, like you mentioned skincare routine. I mean, that's been that I actually don't do like a serious one at night, although there's been so many people that have said that on the show, like the night skincare routine, which I don't do necessarily outside of just wash my face. But I do one in the morning, and I never did that before. Never, ever did I take the 5 minutes or whatever it takes to like wash my face, toner on it and like the serum
you do look great.
The serum and like the I'm doing that shit today, and it's like it's not even because I'm like I care about what my skin looks like. I do it because I'm like I love myself. I'm like really taking care of myself. Like I'm genuinely, I'm taking the time to take care of myself. It's a win. It's a boop. You did that.
Huge. Yeah.
You know, and not, and like, and I think that's so important for people to hear. Like, is it selfish? Fuck yes, it's selfish. Do I sacrifice time with my friends, family, and business for it? No, I sacrifice my time because of how important it is. You know, are there any habits that you do outside of your morning and evening routine throughout your day that have just been like monumental for your happiness and success?
Yes. Well, one, I absolutely loved what you just said about that. And I think that's number one reason why it's done is because it also just forces you to take a pause. And you know you can't rush something like that. And then when you start getting into it, you're like, yeah. And then you want to spend a little bit more time. Mm-hmm. And then you only feel so much better for it, which allows your cup to overflow into everyone else's. So I would even say it would benefit other people, even if maybe you're not seeing them as often. But mm-hmm. when you do see them, I bet the time together is a lot higher quality. Or totally. You're be able to present a much better like version of yourself. But I would say is I'm really good at taking breaks and like taking that pause like throughout the day. So if I have like an hour, normally I would think in the back of my head, let me rush home, get out a few emails and then rush to my next thing. Mm. And then if I'll be like passing by like the West Side Highway and I pass by a park, I'll just like literally verge off on an impulse, park the bike and then just like lay in the grass for like 10 minutes. God. Take my shoes off and just like breathe for like 10 minutes. I'll put like a couple great like songs on. And like, this is totally like not me with anyone. Just like, just off hinge, just boom, go.
That's so good.
Breathe for like 10 minutes and then I'll get back on my bike, go home, still do those emails, go to my next thing. But like, I'm just brought right back down to where I need to be. I can like ground myself and check in with myself and then present myself as again as that better version of myself to the next thing I have to go to, because I have to race from everything to everything, and everything that I do is me giving to something else, whether it be me working with a client. You know, I don't really have any time for myself, so me allowing to do that with myself has been a huge game changer.
I think that is I'm so happy you said that. I think it is so important. You know, I will find myself eating lunch, doing emails. And I'm like, bro, what are you, like, really? Is that necessary? Like, do you need, like, food is a gift. You're just, it's like, you're totally disregarding what this experience is supposed to be all the time, you know? And it was so clear that you said that. And probably 2 or 3 weeks ago, I was in the city for 3 days or so. And I was bouncing around. I was like all over the city. And I never stop and listen to musicians in the train, like in the train station. I never stop. Like it could be no one around, you know, and I'm just like, focus. Mm-hmm. And I heard this guy, and for the first time I was like, I'm gonna stop, and I'm gonna fucking sit down right here and I'm gonna listen to this dude. And it was like such a blessing that I did that. Like I was like, do I need to be running nonstop? Like, will I be late? Yeah. Is it okay? Like, am I gonna be better late than not have stopped and listened to this guy and like taken in a couple of moments of like gratitude and awesomeness before I got to this next thing? I think that's so great that you do that and you're conscious of it, and like it's sporadic and it's not planned out, and you just like see something and you're like, fuck it, I'm going to do that, to give myself that little like poof of love. What else? Absolutely. That was a good one.
Other things I've been loving, incorporating a lot more like sauna time, like a lot more therapy. I just became a member of Remedy Place in Chelsea, or I don't know if you can say that, Chelsea, Union Square West, wherever it is.
I haven't been there yet, but I've been to the one in Cali. It's amazing.
Yeah, amazing. So I have at least weekly appointments there with my boyfriend, and it's just like a great way for us to, again, like calm down, slow down. We train a lot throughout the week. So like giving back to our bodies and just doing more for ourselves. Like when I was in college going to U of M, Miami, like I was out every weekend. I was obviously like still taking care of my body and still performing, but the focus was very different, where I feel like the only things that I do in my free time are trying to discover the next good supplement that might help me with this, or the next superfood, or, you know, the next self-care routine that can help, you know, defy this thing, or really just chasing ultimate health or optimal health. Mm-hmm. And it's been fun. Gets addicting.
Totally gets addicting. I did something last week, which was not planned, but was appreciated more than I thought it would be. I've got chronic Lyme disease, which sucks. Okay. But I've kept it really at bay over the last few years because I use the infrared sauna and the cold plunge every single day. Religiously, wow. That's where I spend my mornings, in the sauna and the plunge. And I had a little flare up over the last like 2 to 3 weeks. And when they come, it sucks. It's like it attacks my joints, my back, my knees, like the whole thing. It's just like, pfft. Because training is such a part of my mental health medicine, I train no matter what. Like even if it's a little bit of training just to give me that, like, boom. Last week I said, you know what, dude, no training. Like, why don't you challenge yourself and see what it feels like not to train? You know, like, can you be the same person? Can you be the same guy that, like, loves connecting with human beings, is present for his family? Like, can you be that person? Like, grabs, you know, your wife's hand at all times when you're together, as opposed to not doing that. You know what I'm saying? Like, can you be the same guy? Mm-hmm. And it was such an awesome experience because I did struggle. There was no doubt. Like, there were days where I was just kind of like, I just want to go lift. Like, I want to go take a run. I want to do it. And I was like, you know what? I'm not going to do it, man. I'm not going to do it. And like, it's so interesting to see like how much when you're in the lifestyle of fitness and nutrition and just living in that arena, for anybody listening, like, it might seem like a chore to get into it, but I promise you that once you're in it, it becomes such a big part of your life and your happiness and your success that it becomes so hard not to do it, you know? So like that's something that I think I'm going to try to do every once in a while as like a little like monthly, you know, 3 to 4 day thing where I'm just like, you know what, I'm going to take a break and like not push myself to the, have you ever done that? Or you're just like, I'm cutting it off for a week?
I think naturally that happens sometimes, whether it be like through a heavy push through work or, you know, if you know you're going to be sacrificing sleep, stress, XYZ, then to try to throw in a heavy training push on top of that just wouldn't make sense, you know? I actually just caught a little bit of a cold over the last 5 days or so. And yeah, I've been taking it easy, which isn't something that I've been used to the last few months. And I definitely think it's needed, especially, but I think depending on the intensity that you push, right? And I think that incorporating movement every single day, like you said, it just changes every single aspect of your life. And when you make it that ingrained into your lifestyle, you really don't even think about it anymore. It doesn't have to become like an effort. So once you get into that cycle, it's extremely rewarding. But taking that time to either recover, do your self-care, make sure that you're taking care of yourself outside of the training. And then when you have a strong push for, I mean, how long have you been in the industry for? Like, I bet your breaks are few and far between. So when you do actually get it, your body thanks you for it. And I bet that when you get back to it after a week or so, your numbers are the exact same, if not even higher, just because your
actually,
body's like—
Actually, funny enough, you say that.
Yes, thank you. I was able to recalibrate a little bit. Thank you for that little vacay and let's get to it. You know,
yesterday I had a workout that just absolutely crushed me, but I felt so strong in it, you know, because I had taken full 7 days to chill.
Interrupting this episode one more time to share with you how we keep this podcast going by you supporting us through trying or subscribing to Meal One on creaturesofhabit.com. I'm giving 20% off your first order or your first subscription order, which is a serious discount. Meal One is a superfood meal. This is a meal. This is not a snack. With 30 grams of plant-based protein, 37 grams of complex healthy carbohydrates, and 10 grams of fat, you will be full for hours. We developed Meal One to help you perform at your absolute best to get that incredibly healthy and convenient edge on the competition. There is no better, more convenient meal to start your day with or use as a pre or post workout meal. The macros are perfect and sourced with the cleanest ingredients in the game. Take your performance to the next level. Make your life much easier. Save time. Be able to eat healthy without sacrificing flavor and all the while staying full for hours so that your urge to snack is limited. Hop over to creaturesofhabit.com. That's creaturesofhabit.com. Use promo code KOHPOD20. That's KOHPOD20 for your first order of meal one today. 20% off. Creatures of Habit with a K. Love you. Back to the pod.
Are there any habits that you've broken that were obviously not awesome habits? Habits that you felt like, okay, it's time to not do this anymore?
Easy one would always be like late night eating. Something that I think affects me so much. And as I've gotten older, it's gotten the effect, like the negative effects of it get so much worse that it just really allows me to just not do it. Mm-hmm. But also learning how to sleep and like different sleep positions to help you like with, I guess, indigestion or XYZ. That's an easy one.
I mean, late night eating is tough. That's a tough one. You know, a lot of people, including myself, have struggled with that over the years. I feel like, especially if you train regularly, mm-hmm. your body is definitely tired and craving quick calories at night. Just is. That's when like most people's sweet tooth is just kind of like, pow,
yeah.
shoulder, like elbow to the gut, you know, like it's time, feed right. me. And you know, one little hack that I've sort of implemented in that arena has been, I plan it out like way before it happens. You know okay. what I'm saying? Like, I'm like sitting on the couch. I'm like, okay, I'm going to go in there. I'm going to go into that drawer. I'm going to grab a handful of something that's probably not awesome. I'm going to come back to the couch and I'm going to slowly eat it and just be stoked. And then I get up and I like walk over there and I will literally, I have this little pattern that I say, and I'm like, Michael, do you want this or do you need this? Stop. Do you want it or do you need it? Do you want it or do you need it? If you're like, I need this, which is rare, because you definitely don't need the shit. But if I'm like, if I've been like amazing and like I've been so good, I want to fucking treat myself, I'm like, all right, dude, you need it. You deserve it. You earned it. But if you're like, dude, you just want this, I literally stop myself. I take a deep breath, turn around and call it. And I've like worked that kind of conversation into my head. I mean, it really had to start with my bodybuilding prep, like prep bodybuilding.
Oh, know, yeah.
So hard. So like I had to figure out how to like walk off the ledge.
Yeah. The strength you have to be, or you have to have to be any type of bikini or bodybuilding competitor.
Brutal.
Is next level.
Brutal.
Next level.
Yeah. I always finish with a final question that I think could potentially offer the most value. You don't have to go to the gym, eat well, like essentially spend most of your life in the service of others. Really, really, really. And I would imagine you get just an enormous amount of gratitude from watching others succeed. Why have you chosen this life of better?
Definitely started with my dad and it only grew from there. But my dad's 90. And so growing up with him, I always like thought my time with him was limited. And my dad has incredible mechanics. Like when he bends down underneath the sink, he has a beautiful hinge, like reaching over. And it's just like his body moves beautifully mechanically. And it's allowed him to do so much up until later years in his life. Like he's literally 90 years old. He still drives. He can walk like 5 blocks. He really, the only thing that's holding him back is his joints and like certain things that, you know, after that long, it's kind of hard to maintain. But overall, his movement capacity is unbelievable. And when I was in college studying exercise physiology, he was in the hospital with an infection. He couldn't stand. The infection was through his legs. He couldn't stand. He couldn't bear weight. And the doctors just like prescribed him rest and medication and was just like, you know, he might just have to be in a wheelchair the rest of his life. And I was in school at the time. I waited 3 days and I flew up that weekend to see him. Didn't know what the protocol was there wasn't any protocol besides rest and some medication. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, I know that movement will help him with circulation, will help the body just like doing what it needs to do to help flush out whatever's going on. And the meds were obviously doing the meds work, but you mean just staying, laying there in bed? I mean, it's just on the heart to pump all that through and try to get that to process. And so I just took the mentality of, okay, I know movement, so let's get it. And I like just mainly for, I didn't really think of the circulation concept as much as let's just keep his ability to do things as much as possible, because I don't want him to lose a strength. I don't want him to lose, you know, like any type of fall, any type of injury that has you bedridden at that age, it declines your quality of health dramatically, and your bone density. So I like did leg press in his bed with him, worked through his ankles, had him doing all these like push and presses, used my body as like his weight. And within 3 hours we had him standing. And the next day, every 3 hours, we like did like a 30-minute routine. And then the next day, he was walking down the hall. And every single nurse in that hospital was shook. And I was like, guys, it takes me, someone who's not working in this hospital, to just think of anything possible to help my dad to go in there and to like make something happen. I mean, the amount of people that have probably lost their loved ones due to not knowing what to do and just trusting modern medicine and whatever. And I'm not taking anything away from the health industry, but I just, I really learned, or everyone in the hospital that day learned the power of movement. And most of my clients, when I started working at a big box in New York, had injuries or were just coming off of surgeries or had some sort of like major limitation that they couldn't reach overhead, or they couldn't tie their shoes, or something was causing them pain throughout their day. And that killed me. And I was like, well, now this is my pain. I need to fix you. So I would go in and using as many methods as I could. And if I didn't know, I would bring in a therapist and shadow. And then I'd learn a little bit more. Or I'd go like, hey, go to your PT. Give me the exercises. Give me all the notes. And I would just try to learn as much as I could about every different type of injury. And would, you know, when you see someone cry because they can finally reach overhead and not be in pain, you feel that. So, and that really just fueled me more and more about how to become a better coach, how to learn as much as I can about the body, and how to help as many people as possible. Because, I mean, when everyone knows you're a coach, they'll start telling you exactly what they want to do, whether it's their fitness goals, whether it's, you know, like them, their injury that's been holding them back from moving, or whatever it may be. And so having a solution for them is, has been, I guess, like my biggest goal in life. Started with my dad, but everyone can benefit from moving a little bit better. Then you start going crazy and just seeing how people walk down the street and you're like, oh, well, they got this going on with their foot, which is probably causing that hip issue there. And man, they got to go get that checked out. Otherwise it's going to, you know, it gets fun. But New York City gives you a lot of problems to fix. So, so the better this industry is, the better we can help people.
Mm-hmm. I love that your motivation came through your pops. Totally. And like being able to see like in real time what you do for your life and for your livelihood, can change someone's life in like the matter of a day. You know, like I would love nothing more than for my mom to move. I would love nothing more. I'm definitely going to hearing that and just knowing that, you know, my mom, movement is everything. It is really truly everything, right? And we're not meant to be sedentary beings, especially as we get older. Megan, this was an awesome conversation. Thank you so much for coming in last minute, by the way. She popped in like last minute. I really appreciate it. I'm excited for you in your journey. I mean, you've built something awesome. I can't wait to see what your space is going to look like. And I can't wait to get some Creatures of Habit Meal 1 in your hands.
Hey.
But thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much for having me. This was such a pleasure.
If they want to find you, what do they do?
Instagram, Megan, MEGHAN _ Hayden _. My account, or my business account, is Take Off With Meg. Have a TikTok, Take Off With Meg. Otherwise, just my general website, takeoffwithmeg.com. You can always book a quick consult with me, and if I'm available, I'll try to help you with a couple questions if you have any.
Oh, yeah. Awesome. Until the next one, y'all. Peace.
And there you have it, folks. I hope we delivered some valuable content for you to implement into your life on a daily basis. Please remember that our habits have the power to make us or break us. Replacing bad habits with great ones is the answer to living a life of happiness, optimism, and high performance. We are capable of achieving anything. We all have what it takes to give it all we've got. Commit to one great habit each day and truly commit, and watch how everything in your life starts evolving from good to great. If you enjoyed this podcast, please follow us wherever you listen to your podcast. Give us a 5-star rating and a nice review. That will help us grow this podcast, bring on more amazing guests, and continue to deliver invaluable content on a weekly basis. Lastly, please share this podcast with any friends or family that you think might appreciate it. And always remember, want plus do equals have. Until the next one, fam, peace.